Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 2nd. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So what would your dinner look like if the food came from within 100 miles of your home? Well, this time of year, maybe you could get some organically raised meat from the next town over, or maybe a salad made with spinach grown by your neighbor. Several authors these days are suggesting that you try eating locally, too. Michael Pollan, for example, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, says many foods come from California or Mexico, and shipping them here can harm the environment. And he says that you don't usually get the most delectable ingredients from food grown afar either. And we just had a suggestion on my open line this week to book another author, Barbara Kingsolver, author of Animal Vegetable Miracle, which chronicles her year of eating only locally produced food, food that her family produced on their own farm or acquired nearby. We tried, by the way, but Ms. Kingsolver apparently isn't available early in the morning. While all this is on our mind, we did see a piece by our guest who questions, maybe even criticizes, this push to eat only or mostly local foods, who says that it really isn't realistic or practical for most of us, and it isn't all that better or ethical to eat locally. We'll wonder if you agree with her or not. Do you think that eating locally is important, or is it just a fad? Do you care to know where your food comes from or how it's grown? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send us an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Do you think that this push to eat local is just a new form of elitism? Our guest is Catherine Mangu Ward. Catherine Mangu Ward, associate editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote the recent piece, The Year of Magical Eating. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, did you hear of Barbara Kingsolver's book, too, Animal Vegetable Miracle?
I have. There's quite a few books contending for what I can only imagine isn't a very big market of people fascinated by the possibility of eating locally.
But yeah, you talked about another one in your piece. There's another one called Plenty, One Man, One Woman, and a Raucous Year of Eating Locally.
That's right.
And it wasn't so raucous as far as you were concerned.
No, it was. This is more literary criticism than political commentary. But the book was maybe even a little bit more boring than my life, which isn't what one generally turns to outside books for.
But you blame this trend on Michael Pollan?
Well, as I mentioned in the piece, I would like to, in part because Michael Pollan is obviously the smartest and most insightful of these batch of books. He's a frequent writer for the New York Times Magazine and has turned several of his pieces for them into a book in which he traces four meals from the field to the table. And in particular, he traces a fast food meal, an ordinary grocery store meal, a Whole Foods organic, he calls it industrial organic type meal, and then a local meal, which he actually takes to be even more dramatic than some of these other books, and basically forages himself, including hunting a boar. So his version is actually fascinating essays. He gets into everything from corn subsidies and how that impacts the American diet all the way to where the best place is to find mushrooms after a forest fire. But unfortunately, many of his imitators seem to be a little more derivative. They seem to be doing it maybe a little more for the sake of just doing the stunt and getting a book contract than a real interest in researching the subject fully.
Yeah, and this is not, as far as you're concerned, practical for most of us.
No, I mean, Even the people who write these books tend to concede that it takes a huge amount of time to eat locally. And when you're a freelance writer, for example, you have that time. And especially if you know in the end your time is going to be paid back with book sales. But for the average person who's getting home from work at 6 or 7 o'clock, you can't be driving around in the dark looking for a local goat cheese at 9 p.m. to have dinner.
Yeah, and maybe not go hunt a boar either.
And maybe not go hunt a boar either.
We are going to check our weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking with Catherine Mangu Ward, Associate Editor of Reason Magazine, talking with us about this new push, this trend to eat locally. Some say eating locally is better for you, better for the environment, better for the community, but maybe our guest says it's just a stunt and not really practical, realistic for most of us, and really isn't all that more ethical either. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Wednesday, May the 2nd. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins. He'll talk about a current issue of the day after 4, and then he'll ask you what you want to talk about after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Well, we're talking about eating locally. Is it snobbery? Is it just a new form of elitism? We're talking with a guest who says eating locally is perfectly fine for a small minority who want to do it as a stunt for a book contract, for example. But it's not going to stop global warming. It's probably not better for the environment, and it's not better for your health. Primarily, it's just a new form of elitism. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we have an open line for you, so want to know what you think. Catherine Mangu Ward is our guest, Associate Editor of Reason. She wrote a recent piece, The Year of Magical Eating. And Catherine, now I don't have time to hunt a boar, and I wouldn't want to do that anyway, but I do have time to, go to the farmer's market and pick up locally grown produce. And isn't that better than, buying some grapes from South America from the grocery store?
Well, I should note that I'm not against elitism. I'm perfectly happy for people to choose, to pick and choose their elitist behaviors if that's what they would like to do. And I go to the farmer's market because I like the experience and because I know people there. But the bigger claims for what buying your fruit at the farmer's market instead of from Chile make are just not accurate, unfortunately. There's a perception that eating locally is healthier for you, which there's no evidence to support. In the end, a grape is a grape, and nutritionally it's going to be the same, no matter what pesticides that are being used by local farmers are no different than pesticides being used anywhere else in the world. And in fact, farmers market food is often not organic, so it can easily mean that you're getting more chemicals on your farmer's market apple than you would be from an organic apple flown in from New Zealand.
Yeah, the Madison farmer's market people or the Dane County farmer's market people would say, aha, but it is in Dane County, the organic.
And some farmer's markets are, but there's also this bigger question of whether organic food is healthier for people. Mm-hmm. And again, there's really no evidence that it is. The pesticides that organic farmers use are still pesticides. They're still substances that poison bugs. And to the extent that we're worried that something that poisons a bug might poison me, whether or not it's organic doesn't seem to make much of a difference, even though I think in both cases they're, we've long proven they're perfectly safe for people.
Yeah. Is it better, though, for the community, for me to buy the potato grown in central Wisconsin, where they grow a lot of potatoes, or buy one from Idaho?
This is always the sort of next item on the list is better for the community. I think this is probably the one that has the most real weight behind it, but still, unfortunately, isn't terribly hefty. If you happen to value the presence nearby of farms, then yes, buying a potato from a local farm makes it a little more likely that those farms will stay in place. But odds are that other than encountering these farmers at the farmers market on Saturday, they're not really a part of your community, that you're happy to see them at the shop, but you could have just as much of a community with a small grocery store owner who bought his grapes from Chile again. If you want that particular community to be preserved, fine, but it's not a community that has intrinsic worth somehow over and above the PTA.
Yeah. What about the health of the environment, though, in that if I'm buying locally, then I'm not contributing to all the pollution that occurs when you ship food from, you know, halfway across the world?
This one gets a little trickier, and it's in part because it depends on what your environmental priorities are. For example, when we talk about the environment, people mean a lot of different things. If the area near your house, say, wasn't turned over to farms, as is the case in New England, for example, much of it would turn back to forest or to some sort of natural ecosystem that was there before the farms were put in. So the question becomes, is it better to have a farm in your backyard or a forest? And that's, I think, the jury's out on that one. There are huge values to having natural ecosystems come back that are sometimes hard to see. On the other hand, having a farm is maybe better than having a subdivision. So you have to make your call on that one. But as I say, in the Northeast in the United States, what used to be farmland is almost all forest land now. And pretty much everyone who's concerned about the environment agrees that that's a better outcome, that it's better to have forests. Likewise, there's this concern about burning fossil fuels. You know, if your grapes have to fly 1,500 miles to get to you, doesn't that seem wasteful? And the question is there, again, what's the total impact? That is, sure, your grapes are, you know, burning fossil fuel to get to you, but on big farms in areas that are specifically zoned for it, there may be actually less impact from pesticides overall on the environment than if each little farmer is pouring his own pesticides into your direct water supply. It may be that there's, you know, issues where incredibly efficient shipping, which we do have, minimizes the impact of the fossil fuels that are burned compared with somebody's rattly old truck that's making it to the farmer's market. And it's certainly never going to be true that an apple grown in your neighborhood burns the same amount of fossil fuels as grapes in Chile, but I think you can get surprisingly close when you add up the two columns of environmental impact. So even though we have this visceral sense that if the apple came from nearby or the potato came from nearby, that it's better for the environment, it's actually more complicated than that.
Yeah. Well, let's take some calls. Diane in Madison is with us first. Hi, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, I couldn't agree more with your guest. 2 points. Number one, excuse me, I have nothing against farmer markets, and the one here in Madison is wonderful, but the only thing I have to say about it is that a lot of the foods there are very pricey, especially the meats and the fruits and the vegetables, except for one particular group of people, and that seems to be the Laotian people, and they don't charge as much as the other people who are there, and most of the people there come from outlying areas. They are not directly related to Madison. And I buy from a chain store which does sell organic food if you can afford it, but I personally could never afford to go to a farmer's market and buy the foods that I need in my diet and spend the extra $5 or $6 or $7. So I kind of agree with your guess. Most of the people I see are people who shop from outside of Madison. They're parked in the ramps.
Thank you very much, Diane. Mm-hmm. You brought up some good points, and you touch on this in your article too. The expense of doing this, Catherine Mangu Ward.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And actually, I would love to see a Walden Pond-like accounting of how much it really does cost to eat truly locally. And none of the books that I've seen yet, at least, have that. And I imagine that, at least in part, the reason that that's true is because it's pretty expensive. And any claims that particular authors have for the possibility of universalizing this way of eating, the idea that everyone could do it, will be undermined by, as the caller says, that, you know, as lovely as the bag of local cucumbers for pickling might be, a jar of pickles is always going to be cheaper.
Yeah. The $11 honey that was in the book Plenty?
There's a rapturous description, not raucous, mind you, but rapturous description of a jar of $11 honey, which in the book Plenty, the couple that's eating locally has to buy to replace sugar. Because, of course, sugar is not a local product in the United States and never really has been in most areas of the country. So they drive for a couple hours in their own car, go out and buy this $11 honey. It takes up half of a Saturday. It's hard to imagine most people being willing to do that.
Next, we go to Rich in Sullivan. Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Hi. Actually, I'm in Rhinelander, but you're screener, because I usually call from Sullivan.
I guess it was just habit. Sorry, Rich.
Okay. My comment is I really welcome this discussion, but I'd rather be an elitist than be a defeatist. And by defeatist, I mean the sources of food in America have become so removed from the consumers that those of us who go not only to one farmer's market, but there are multiple farmer's markets. There are at least two I know of in the Madison area. There are several in Milwaukee. There's one here in Rhinelander in northern Wisconsin and small towns throughout the region. We also raise our own gardens in the back in our backyards. We encourage others to do so. Some of us, either officially or unofficially, participate in a plant an extra row program that is giving fresh produce to food pantries or to people we know who need fresh produce. Mm-hmm. And I agree with the guest that the hyperbole of some of the authors is really sort of disgusting in terms of how they represent rapture over food. However, if most Americans saw how their proteins are processed or produced and their leafy vegetables in factory production, they wouldn't be so bewildered about E. coli epidemics or other kinds of things. And the people I see picking apples in Door County and in other orchards around the state of Wisconsin, for the most part, are the same kind of people I see going to casinos. That is, they're middle or lower middle class people who really get a kick out of being in touch with their food.
We get it, Rich, and I'm going to have our guest respond to your comments after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, because it's news time. Catherine Mangu Ward, our guest, associate editor of Reason Magazine, talking with us about eating locally. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, May the 2nd. We're talking this hour about eating locally. Is it better? Is it more ethical to eat locally, local food produced by local farmers, for example, than to eat food that's shipped here from some other state or even some other country? Is it better for our environment? Is it better for our health? Is it better for our community? Our guest says, not necessarily. Catherine Mangu Ward is the associate editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote a piece, The Year of Magical Eating, where she criticizes this trend, all of these books that are coming out these days talking about eating locally, saying that it's almost a new form of elitism. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have for her. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. She says for most of us, it really isn't practical or realistic for us to be producing our own food or eating only local food. And we wonder what you think. We heard Catherine Mangu Ward from a caller just before Newstime, Rich in Rhinelander, who said that he'd rather be elitist than defeatist, and said that he thought it was important to be connected to the source of our food, and had some examples. So you want to comment on what he had to say?
I think his position is pretty common. There's a lot of people who just have a general idea that they'd like to know where their food comes from, and they'd like to have that be near their home, that be some from a geography that they can relate to. And again, for people who, as he describes, are willing to go to two farmers markets and tend a backyard garden, fine, go for it. I'm certainly not in the business of telling anyone that they can't have that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get from having a salad that was grown in your backyard. But I think his more modest claims are not what are the norm in the debate about this. And they're not where the discussion stops. Usually the discussion, as we've talked about, spirals out into it's better for your health, it's better for the environment, it's better for communities, and there's not much evidence that those things are true. It is, of course, true that if it makes you happy to eat locally, then why not? Go for it. But I do think his experience sounds like something that is signaling. He actually said, you know, there are people like me who do this. It's signaling a lot about what social set he's a part of, you know, what, you know, even if you do occasionally see a low-income family go out and pick apples, they're not doing it as a way of life. They're doing it as a one-day recreational activity. And to really sustain it, you have to be up to a certain level of commitment.
How about what he had to say, though? I'll paraphrase him, that it's better to eat the lettuce grown in your own garden or by the farmer, the local farmer, than it is to eat this factory farm-produced lettuce that's shipped all the way from California that has been the source of all these E. coli outbreaks.
Well, honestly, you know, E. coli has been with us for a long time, and given the amount of factory farm lettuce that Americans eat, the single E. coli incident with the spinach and the lettuce a little bit ago is statistically just not significant. Of course, it did get a lot of attention, and it did, you know, bring a lens on some of the conditions of factory farms. But what they're finding is that it was actually an organic farm, that the only potential source of the E. coli was from an organic cattle farm nearby. So I think, if anything, what that incident demonstrates is that even people who think they're doing the better thing, even people who think they're buying organic lettuce from an area that specializes in organic farming, it's actually just not a guarantee about health. It happens in this case, so they got unlucky and they had a little bit of E. coli, but there's no reason to think that couldn't happen in a farm near your house, too. There's nothing inherent about the factory farm process that makes it more dangerous or less healthy.
Back to the phones. Gene in Madison is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Before I get into my comment, I would ask the person who's speaking to prove that latest allegation concerning the E. coli in California. I believe you've got your facts wrong.
But prove what? I'm sorry.
Prove the fact that it came from an organic, organic meat production facility, whatever. I think that this person is truly just a corporate apologist. I am more concerned about sourcing. I would like to know where my food came from. I would like to know what the ingredients are. It doesn't have to be on the label, but I should be able to ask the company or ask the vendor what's in it, where did it come from. And then I'll decide. I'd like to know if my milk had RBGH. I would like to know the practices being used, that even in organics, that it's not coming from a big factory organic farm, which is sort of an oxymoron. But these are the issues really we should be talking about. But it's nice to talk about the local. Yes, if you can buy local, buy local. Just remember that when it comes to things like beer, you can buy a cheap chemical formula which calls itself beer in America, or you can buy beer which is manufactured the way beer is manufactured, and it costs a heck of a lot more. We in America spend very little in comparison to Western Europe on our food, and we're proud of it, but take a look at what it's done to our health, take a look at what it's done to all these things, and yes, this person who is speaking can prattle on about this and that, but I think that as an individual, I should have the right to know that there was RGBH used to produce the milk. It doesn't matter whether you think or not that it's better or not. I just want to be able to know, and I'm willing to pay for the ability to know that, because the China, what happened with the cat and dog food in China and now is going over to other stuff, that is the canary in the coal mine of this globalization, and that's really what we're talking about. The Eat Local movement is trying to counteract one size fits all. It comes from somewhere, and I have no idea what the practices are in a dictatorship somewhere.
All right. Thank you, Gene. I'm Catherine Mangu Ward. You want to respond?
Just that I would never presume to take away the caller's right to find out information about where his food comes from. I'm certainly not making the case that farmers markets are bad or that they should be shut down or that if he wants to, he shouldn't shop at them for every calorie that he consumes, only that the broader claims that he'd like to make for what eating locally can do seem to be a little bit too strong, seem to be a little bit too bold, and that, you know, no amount of local produce consumption is going to ward off foodborne disease. It just happens. And that information is available. A huge amount of information is available about factory farm foods and foods that are produced or assembled overseas. I mean, he does know that there's RGBH in his milk if he chooses to buy milk from an industrial plant. And the fact that he knows that undermines his own thesis a lot. I think you can make your choices with the information that you have. And of course, information isn't perfect, but neither is information going to be perfect when some old farmer at the farmer's market who may be charmingly picturesque and who may sell delicious apples says, no, we don't spray these guys with anything. You don't know any more there than you knew from your apple that was flown across four oceans, and actually you might know less.
We're talking with Catherine Mangu Ward. She is associate editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote a piece called The Year of Magical Eating, where she talks about all of the books that are coming out. There's a book, Plenty, about how one family decided to only eat food grown from 100 miles around where they lived. There's Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, where he takes on eating locally versus eating food that's shipped here from other parts of the world. Another new book coming out, Barbara Kingsolver, Animal Vegetable Miracle, which chronicles her year of eating only locally produced food. Catherine Mangu Ward says, eat local if you want to, but don't think that what you're doing is really all that much better for the environment or your own health or your community, for that matter. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 2nd. Coming up after 7, we'll welcome in U.S. Representative Steve Kagan. He is the Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. We'll find out what he's been up to, issues that he is working on, and talk with him about the issues before Congress, including, of course, President Bush's veto yesterday of the war funding bill that contained the timeline for withdrawing troops. Now what? We'll ask Steve Kagan coming up after 7. We're talking about whether or not it's all that much better for us and for our communities to eat locally with a guest who says probably not. Blue in Richland Center is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I've got a couple comments. I'm an organic farmer that vends at the farmers markets around Madison, and I have a couple quick points. I believe that people get really stuck on pricing, and when you're at the supermarket, for example, you see your 40-ounce box of cornflakes is $1.50 or whatever. But, you know, those products are subsidized with federal tax dollars. So in, you know, reality, maybe we're actually paying $4 per person per box of cornflakes because we're all pitching into that federal tax dollars that are then subsidizing those commercial farmers. So we don't actually really always know what we're paying for our food. And my other comment is, when you're seeing those prices at the market stands, you're really just seeing what it costs to produce food, the real numbers, the stuff that you just can't get when you go into Super Walmart. And being an organic farmer, for example, my chicken feed for a 50-pound bag cost me between $16 and $18, whereas a commercial medicated feed is somewhere between $6 and $8. So I'm paying, you know, well over double. And then if I'm moving my chickens around pasture, it takes a lot of, you know, manual labor, and it's hard work. We work really hard, and it's just so disappointing to have somebody come on the air and just kind of poo-poo on it. I mean, I would really challenge her to, you know, give up her editing job and farm for 3 years and come back and have this conversation again, because I think that she would say something very different. And, you know, and also...
Hold on, Blue. Before we forget all your points, Catherine Mangu Ward, you want to farm for 3 years and then come back and talk with us?
I think I'll pass on that, but that's because I do know that it's incredibly hard work. I think the ethical eating issue has so many layers on it, and people have such visceral feelings about it that it's easy to read in to almost anyone's comments a lot more than is there. And I think if you rewound the tape, you would see that I would certainly never say the prices at farmers markets are unfair, or that I think that the tremendous subsidies of cheap corn in this country are a good thing. I don't. I think, you know, cheap cornflakes actually are a huge problem, as the caller rightly points out. But, you know, there's a big gap between saying there are not, you know, not everyone can afford the time or money that farmers market vegetables do, in fact, cost. When you consider that tax dollars are a sunk cost, no matter what, I'm paying taxes for my cheap cornflakes, even if I don't buy the cornflakes. After that, in addition, there are just a lot of people who can't afford the time and money it takes to shop at a farmer's market, which isn't to say that farmer's markets shouldn't exist. I think that people who want to be organic farmers and who want to bring their goods to farmer's markets are providing a service that people like the previous caller that think are incredibly important and really want, and that's great. But there's so much visceral emotion, and people have such strong feelings about this issue that it's hard to actually make this sort of funny middling argument that I'm making, which is if you want to consume these things or grow these things on a local organic level, fine. But you're not saving the planet, and you're not saving the food supply, and you're not undermining the system of grain subsidies in the United States, unfortunately. It's you know, you're accomplishing that which I think is really important, which is growing and creating goods that people want and then selling them to them. That's important, but it's not saving the world.
But we vote with our dollars every day, and you know, in the same way, you can make the market event as a family. You say, well, families don't have time, but even if you just go once a week, you have to go once a week somewhere to buy your food. And if you take your kids out and you can make it this family event that will be memorable for your children instead of plunking them down in front of satellite TV that maybe you're paying $100 or $150 a month subscription for, that's also very elitist. That's stuff that we can't afford as farmers, and we don't choose to pay for those products because we also vote with our dollars. And so, you know, I just think it's unfortunate that I guess I just don't quite understand the point that you're really making. If you're saying, yeah, go and do this and do that, or do whatever you want, but you're not saving the planet. If we all have that attitude, then we'll definitely not do anything better for the planet but to destroy it even faster. So I think we all just are trying to do our part, and the local food movement is just, it's just a big force in the community right now, and I just think it's important to respect it.
Yeah. Anything further, Catherine Mangu Ward? If everybody votes with their dollars, maybe we will save the world.
I guess, again, what I should say is just that this particular vote with particular dollars, as I described earlier, isn't better for the environment. That there are benefits to local food, which is to say if people want it, they should have the choice to get it. But the contrast between the overall impact of local farming and the people who buy it versus the overall impact of what the particular stretch of countryside would be like without local farming and with people buying their fruits and vegetables from abroad, it's just not, the jury is legitimately still out on whether not any individual farm is better. I have no doubt that the caller's farm is better than what would be there if there were an industrial farm there instead. But that's not really the question. As I was describing in the Northeast, it's often a question of farmland versus forest land or farmland versus natural ecosystem. And the jury is legitimately out on whether overall, if everyone did, quote unquote, their part and ate local, it would be better for nature and for the environment in our country and on this planet.
Thank you, Blue. I'm going to move on now to Peter in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
You know, one of the problems we have oftentimes with journalists, if this is the same person who has a bachelor's degree in political science and philosophy, is they're not grounded in hard sciences. And one of the things that happened with George Bush, there's a country of origin labeling that keeps on being pushed off into the future. And here's one of the essential problems. Countries like Brazil, which has large tracts of rainforest, when they cut them down, the oxisols, that are the soils that are indigenous to the tropical regions, have no ability to really sustain agriculture. So what happens is they have to keep on moving from place to place because they destroy the soils and move on to the next place. So when we don't have country of origin labeling, it's because we want to import from cheaper places. And these places are typically in areas south of the equator where we're deriving a huge amount of our food sources. And as a result, we're cutting down the rainforest. And if you think what the rainforests do in terms of counteracting global warming, it's ridiculous. They have these entire concepts. The other thing is that Americans, you know, might be a bit overweight. And if we take a look at how much we do eat as an end result of ultra-cheap processed food, I think we can afford to cut back a third based upon our lifestyle of sitting in chairs throughout the bulk of our day. Eat better. And the other thing about...
There's two things there, Peter, and we're running short on time. Catherine Mangu Ward?
A couple of things. First, certainly the caller, Peter, is right that Americans eat a lot of processed foods and it's probably not great for their health. But it's just a question of what's a realistic substitution. And I would argue that the difference between buying your apples locally and buying your apples flown in from New Zealand isn't the question of why people are fat and why they're eating too much processed cereal. There's, as I say, a huge raft of issues here. It's incredibly complex. The rainforest plays in, but so do local environments. And he's quite right that it is an inefficient practice to cut down a rainforest, which turns out not to supply very fertile soil. But there isn't a one-to-one correspondence between either buy a local apple or cut down a rainforest. It's not that simple. There are tremendously effective ways to advocate for responsible farming practices overseas. If you want to buy locally to use your dollar to advocate for responsible farming practices in your backyard, fine. But it's not going to solve the national obesity crisis, and it's not really actually going to save the rainforest.
Boy, you've really touched a nerve with this discussion. Heather in Madison is, I think, going to be our last caller. Heather, go ahead.
Hi. This has been on my mind a lot the last week because I just finished the Eat Local Challenge, and it was the Pennywise Eat Local Challenge where we only use the average American's food budget to buy within 100 miles. And I had three points about this.
Make your most important because we're almost out of time, less than 2 minutes.
Okay, sure. As far as food security, this wouldn't have been a national, the spinach scare wouldn't have been a national epidemic if people would have been buying locally and they would have been able to find the farm within a couple of hours instead, within a couple of days. And as far as expense, my food lasted longer because it was fresher, so it wasn't more expensive. And thirdly...
Thanks for making all three. she was able to eat locally on an average budget, and does think it's better. Catherine Mangu Ward.
I guess I would just ask why she's only done the challenge then, and not done it as a full time lifestyle.
The fact is that it
can be done, but can it be done by everyone everywhere within a budget and convenience for most people? And will it save the environment if everyone did it? I think the answer is no.
Well, we appreciate your time. We're out of it right now. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Catherine Mangu Ward, Associate Editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote a recent piece in which she questions the trend of eating locally. It's called The Year of Magical Eating. She says that... for most of us, eating only locally produced food is not practical or realistic, and eating locally is not necessarily better for you, the environment, or the community. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.